Hi, I'm Daryl Felsberg.
I'm Brandon Davidson. We're both professional comics, and we travel the country telling jokes.
We don't always get along or even see eye to eye on things, but we've got two things in common.
We're funny, and we love barbecue.
Damn right. Each episode, we meet up with a comedy friend or a celebrity in some of the best barbecue dives in the world, and we record it live.
Food and funny? It doesn't get any better than that.
This is Comedy Barbecue.
Just don't edit this out.
We're not going to. Let's leave it.
Our lack of preparedness. And
yeah.
I'm Daryl.
Hey, I'm Brandon.
This is Comedy Barbecue. We'll bring you into the mix in a minute. Let's get caught up. We talk about where we're at.
Yeah.
This is a precursor to... We're actually doing two episodes today.
Uh-huh.
But Tyson Pfeiffer is jamming to Counting Crows right now. As he walks by and he counts stools. Oh, no, he's counting stools. I thought he was literally doing this.
Feeling it.
That's a fucking tune,
yeah.
Man.
He's like,
1993 all over again.
This album, August and Everything After, is one of my favorite.
You won't for even knowing it?
Here's why I know it. Because...
Awesome.
Yeah, it is. How old are you?
37.
Okay, so you're right there in that wheelhouse where every dude can sing along to this and sound okay. Because Adam Duritz is the weirdest looking dude ever, and he was with Courtney Cox and Jennifer Aniston. He was with two of the Friends at the same time, pretty much.
Two of the Friends, the cast of Friends.
Yeah, Jennifer Aniston and Courtney Cox, contemporaneously while this was an album. So, and he was one of the weirdest looking dudes on the planet.
How is he weird? Just because of his hair?
His hair, the way he dressed, like. Listen, read the lyrics. It's some of the craziest shit out there.
Not going to. And nobody likes nobody likes what we're talking about here. We're at the
Oak Highlands Brewery.
Oak Highlands Brewery, which is tucked away in a industrial zone. It's where the good people ABF deliver product to, and there's some shady import businesses around the corner.
Yeah.
Likely Korean. I trust they're probably selling trinkets and whatnot. But a neat brewery. We're here at the Brouhaha show. You and I are going to be on stage tonight. Tyler will be... we're sans Tyler right now. He's dealing with...
changing hearts and minds.
That's right.
Teaching school.
There's a dog here named Ollie. Olive?
Yep.
Olive is here. She's letting us know that she's here. There's some kids running around. So we're here. And then who's our barbecue? Sam. Did I say that right?
Sam. Get you some.
Get you some. Was the... it's Korean... gourmet Korean tacos and barbecue, so this is going to be a great episode.
I'm going to...
A little different.
I'm going to go out on a limb here. I don't have the best... stomach for this
history
sort of thing
with it,
yeah. And so I'm gonna be real careful. I'm gonna watch you guys work, and then I'm gonna see if Daddy needs to get in on this. But
you know, I'm concerned. First of all, it's not a smoker. When we think of barbecue, we think of smoke.
Right.
So it's a little different for this episode.
Oh, cool.
And then I mean, you got Daniel Vaughn, who's the Texas Monthly editor for barbecues, one of our fans. And was he gonna be upset that this is they're calling barbecue though?
I guess.
They call it barbecue. It's barbecue. It doesn't matter how it gets done, right? Those are the rules.
Well, we're going to try it, and we'll let you know.
I think it's going to be great. Johnny Five's alive. He came in here, shook my hand, about tore my arm off. He's a muscular
Very
fella.
Strong guy. We lifted some tables together earlier.
He got it.
I just acted like I helped, yeah.
Kind of dailed it. So, all right, our guest today is the dog Olive. The dog will be here momentarily. In the meantime, it's John Wessling. John is an old, is it friend?
Yeah, we're all friends.
We are? All right.
Yeah. It's weird that you had to ask like that, Daryl.
Just to make it sure.
But he wants it on record.
I want it on record. Yeah. I want
people
to know.
We're good. Yeah, I hope.
Decade, maybe that long? 8 years?
About that. Yeah. I'm trying to think what
you guys. You guys haven't met though, correct?
No.
Okay.
No,
we're brand new buddies.
Yeah, brand new buddies.
I got to talk about your weak white person stomach though.
I know.
I'm going to. What do you need? Just waffles? What do you. White cream gravy?
I ordered a quesadilla. You heard it.
Yeah, oh yeah. And I laugh because he's got on his menu, I mean, just some magnificent, you know, the Korean taco, unbelievable. The meat they do is amazing. Goji that they do, kimchi fries, and then they have on the menu quesadilla.
He goes right for it.
Because
right
they know their market. They know, hey, we're in Dallas. There's a lot of just pasty white dudes here with bland palates.
It's a pseudo taco. It's a lay down taco. It's a lazy.
Taco.
It's a lazy taco.
At the end, he's going to eat and go, wow, was that chicken brined?
Yeah,
I think it had really something magical there.
I think that's what quesadilla means in Spanish, is lazy taco.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it is.
Yeah.
So.
Quesadilla has got to be a hangover food because it's just bland and pasty.
I like it because it's portable. I like it because
portable.
I know what's in it.
What are you, fucking cross-stitching and eating at the same time?
But you carry it in your car.
You know, whenever I'm going on a zip line, I want to be able to have a snack. Without.
Yeah. It's convenient. It's a food that's...
I can put it in a fanny pack.
It's going to be... And you have a fanny pack for a quesadillas. I would presume that. Speaking of white fleshy people. All right, so here's the story. My son and I, we got an old fishing boat.
Yeah.
You and I talked about this before. Early in the summer, so my son, who's 14, so we can bond a little bit, you know, spend some time together. We've only been able to get it out
in a boat.
Once.
You gotta,
you go fishing.
You
gotta
sequester your child in a small pond.
So he can't leave.
Can't escape.
Escape. I can tell him how life's supposed to be. So we get the second time out was we only went out like once this summer, and then second time was about a month ago. He was out of school, and. Coming, we go to put it on the ramp of the truck. We pull it up to the top of the ramp, and this older guy, it's a Monday. He was out of school. It was a holiday of some sort, teacher and service day. So there was like nobody on the lake. It was perfect, except this one older dude and his three friends. And he comes up and he says, "Sir, you're going to have to move. You're in our way." I was not in his way by any means. I was on my back pulling the drain out. You know, you pull the drain so the water comes out, strapping it up. That means I'm done. Right. I'm going to be done. And I told him, I said, "Give me just a minute and I'll be out of your way." And he says, I don't know, can you not see the sign that says you don't park there? I said, "Oh, no, I thought it said you're a dildo head." And then he just stood there, and my son starts laughing, and I feel bad. I realize I shouldn't have done this. He goes, "You don't understand. You're in our way. You need to learn how to follow the rules." I said, "You know what? I'm following the rules, and the number one rule is I'm going to kick your ass in a minute. Number two is you're being a dildo head." I said it twice, and because my kid laughed at the first time.
I guess the phrase that pays.
I think so. Right, exactly. And then he starts...
And you threw a baba booey at him.
He starts walking, getting in his truck, and he starts backing down. And as he's doing it, I said, "Yeah, the sign says for you to blow me." I'm still yelling at this old man.
Are you from a car at this point?
Oh, no.
You're still laying down.
I'm now standing up by the boat as he's backing his down. I said, "You know, maybe we should back down too, son, right in, you know, to block him in." I mean, this guy was...
Even if you were mildly in the wrong, it's a wave. Sorry.
Hey,
that's a neighborly...
That's what I did.
That's the neighborly contract.
That's right, John.
Of communication.
That's what I did. I said, "We'll be out in just a minute. I don't think you can read the sign." "Yeah, it says you're a dildo head." That's what it says. Pops.
Some people have a need to go too far. Like, they're the ones who've been sent. They are the arbiter of fucking fate and justice. And like, "Yeah, I got it. I'm sorry. My bad. You know, I'm just..." But once you're in that moment, you go, "Okay, sorry, good," you know, and then wait your fucking turn.
Move
but if you want to, like, "You need to see the sign over there." Like, dude, you're not my fucking parent.
Right.
And you're not a cop.
And you're not going to
like
what I'm
going to do. Unless you're writing a ticket or shooting me, go fuck off. Yeah, right. Because this is how you get beat up in public.
Right. I need to be fair.
Is that what you're looking for?
He had a badge. I need to be fair. He had
a badge. Oh, that one is...
This changes it all.
He was a Tarrant County constable.
Where does that come from, though? So do you think, like... These dudes have always sort of escalated in public, and the other person backs down?
I don't know.
Where's the kimchi fries, guys?
Oh, Johnny here from Psalms Barbecue was just brought in. Kimchi fries. What did he say he was going to get?
Some napkins.
Will we need them?
Napkins.
I think you will.
Is it that bad or that good, Johnny?
It's more for the bar. It's the... protect the...
All right, get it in the middle. John.
It's in the middle of my mouth.
That's cool.
Okay, right. They just... I'm just doing a little play-by-play. John just took just a forkful, dropped it right into his open mouth.
Right.
Dude, if you love sriracha sauce, Korean food, Korean barbecue especially, is your jam.
Boy. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that kimchi, which is that... What is it? That marinated, pickled... cabbage, right?
Right, yeah.
Like give it buried underground with their dead ancestors for like 60 years, and it's fucking delicious.
Respect. And you give it like... This is a reoccurring theme for a podcast.
Olive,
having children around,
and the dog, and they're all sweet. The kids are great. The dog's a lovely creature. But now I know me. I'm going to make a horrible, offensive dog child joke.
Rightfully so. Have you seen that thing?
It's a beautiful animal.
It's a beautiful dog.
We'll be sure to take a picture with Olive so you guys can
see. It's like one of the creatures from Dark Crystal.
Movie! What a great movie! The Gelflings and the...
Okay, it is a great movie. But John, do you have kids?
I do. I have four kids.
Okay.
Jesus Christ.
Settle down. You have two. I've got two. Have you tried to watch The Dark Crystal with your kids?
No, not now. Nuh-uh.
That shit does not
hold up. Nothing else.
And it's actually scarier than you remember. My 6-year-old was just like, giant eyes.
Acid-induced.
Yeah. Daddy, seeing tracers. Yeah. It's like,
scratching through to the blood. I mean, it's just... Yeah,
there's a lot of messed up stuff.
Go through and watch those movies and just, and then ask yourself, what?
What were we doing? Oh, I know. You had Dark Crystal Labyrinth with David Bowie was completely fucked up.
That's the whole baby. The whole thing was about abducting a baby.
Again. And then what was the one, Atreyu, Never Ending Story?
Oh, yeah.
Spoiler alert.
We'll go back to the midgets, the small people, the time bandits. You remember that?
I do. I heard they're bringing back Fraggle Rock, which I was unbelievably giant fan of.
Sure, my brother was.
But it's super uncomfortable. It's all it is. It's a complete. It's a complete satirization of like the class system.
Because of Madame Trashy, she's all black, it's and all knowing.
So nuts.
And then the gargoyles.
Yeah.
Dumb fat oats that just walk around.
Yeah.
They gave that to the white guy.
Hey, Johnny, we brought it up. Hey, come on for a second.
Call me out.
I said that you guys more than likely had the quesadilla on the menu because of, you know, your market with the pasty white dudes
who have
minivan wearing
tender
socks
tummies.
That's exactly what it was.
Right. They're like, there's going to be some guys on the planet with IBS.
IBS. That is the definition. Addition of white people problems.
Right. Yeah.
You know, our menu works across the board with fair food, it's cheesy, it's french fries and all that stuff. So it's just cool that it's fused with a Korean, marinated meat.
You know, Johnny, I don't know if I told you this, but I'm woke.
Yeah.
So I need to ask, any GMOs in this?
GMOs? No GMOs.
No Monsanto dog semen.
Not
in this?
That I know. No.
Who is a dog running around? Is it a boy or girl? I don't know.
Yeah,
all right, bring him out. Harvest and tester here.
Hey, these kimchi fries are
they're fantastic.
They're the
truth, yeah.
They are amazing. So that's egg yolk?
No. That's
tell me it's egg yolk.
No egg yolk. For you, they're egg yolk. For everyone else, they're not egg yolk. It's just nacho cheese, Monterey Jack cheese, and then spicy mayo, which are our own ingredients.
Dude, you got to try this. Don't be scared.
It's not that bad.
Yeah.
It's
okay.
You're going to have caramelized kimchi, which is not the main attraction, but the garnish on there.
Right. But it's fantastic. It's good. You can taste the kimchi. It's in there.
Yes.
It's good. Yeah. You'll be fine. There's a little sriracha.
It's just right on top. I mean, you can eat it around. It
is
great. Onion and cilantro is in there, too, so.
He's got.
You know.
Come on, man. Be brave.
I'm going to make a deal in a minute anyway.
Dude, yeah.
Yeah, see?
Oh, he's going to shit immediately.
You're welcome.
No, Johnny. John. Daryl.
You're welcome.
The whole new world. Dude, that's awesome.
It's great.
It's good. It is super good. Oh, man.
I'm making the tacos right now, guys.
Terrific.
Thank you.
Thanks, man.
All three of the meats. Yeah, try it.
Thank you, Johnny.
Oh, wow, that is good. Guys, this is a big deal. My wife, Kathy, if you're listening, a friend of the podcast.
Hi, Kathy.
Does she listen? She does not listen at all. I just had kimchi, guys.
Is it the first time?
That's the first time I've probably ever had a condiment in 12 years.
What?
No.
Really?
Yeah, you guys peer pressured me. That's all right.
That's not true.
No, it is.
You cracked pretty easy, too.
Yeah.
I did.
Yeah.
Yeah, Johnny was looking at me.
You can't tell Johnny no.
No.
You know, his people are divided.
There's some under the table. They'll jump out.
They came right under. It's a demilitarized zone. They came right under.
DMZ.
They came right under.
And the OHB.
It's a lot of acronyms or letterings, things, words that people don't know.
Yeah, Fraggle Rock, none of that shit holds up.
Fraggle Rock, Fraggle Rock's horrible. Fraggle Rock is a Coke fantasy.
Yeah.
Sprockets.
Well, you can see that they basically just I don't know. How many random parts of shit do we have? Put them in a cave.
Oh, yeah. Have these little dudes build shit, but have the bigger ones
doozers.
Want to eat it. The doozers.
Yes.
And the Fraggles, they would eat the shit they made. They would...
is that true?
They would break the crystals. That was like their drugs, basically. They would...
It was crystal meth.
Yeah. Red and Gobo.
Go-Go-Bo? Red Gobo?
Whatever they're... Yeah.
Oh, yeah. What a great show that was.
But technically it wasn't, because when you go back and watch it now, you're like, this is garbage.
Okay, have you seen it lately? I think I tried to show it to my kids.
I tried it, and it didn't hold up. What is something you have... What's something you've shared with your kids from your childhood that you felt like stood the test of time?
Truthfully?
Right.
I'm probably going to get a lot of bad emails for this. Anger mails. The Great Pumpkin Charlie Brown. Could suck it for all I care.
You didn't like that.
I loved it as a child. I loved them all as a child. And then when we went to go watch them with the kids, they just weren't quite the same.
Dude, it felt so fucking long. My kids were like, they were so done with it.
No.
But it's like, does he shoot anybody?
Here you go.
Beef, pork, and chicken.
These are the tacos. Beef, pork, and chicken.
Oh, my gosh. Dude, you guys are the truth.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Enjoy.
We're going to. All right.
Oh, damn. Oh, this is gorgeous.
For me, I broke out Pee Wee's Playhouse, and that held
up. Okay, that holds up.
That holds up real good.
That holds up because there's adult fun in it.
Well, it's got all the secret jokes and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
It's for
so
you
much,
and I.
It's layered.
Oh, and it's got our boy, Lawrence Fishburne, who's the cowboy. Thank you, Tyson. The black cowboy.
You're going to make me lie to you. I don't know.
Black cowboy. Wait, hold on.
Yes.
Now I'm trying to remember. Not Samuel L. Jackson.
Yes. It's hang on. Tyler's not here.
He's normally our head of research.
So I'll jump in.
Yeah, I think it is.
I think so, too. And then you had Wanda Sykes.
That's right, because he called Pee Wee motherfucker.
A lot.
There ain't no basement in Alabama, motherfucker.
Black cowboy on Pee Wee's Playhouse. Look at that. Somebody else.
Comes in with search results.
Yes, it does. Lawrence Fishburne.
Lawrence Fishburne.
Thank you very much.
The proud papa from Boys in the Hood.
Oh, that's right. What was his?
That was formative. Yeah, I didn't have a father growing up. And so,
no, Furious Styles was very helpful.
Furious Styles was good. He taught me how to be a man, how to love a woman.
One time he drove me and my friend to see a billboard and told me about the future.
Yeah.
He was speaking the truth.
Yeah.
It's a really great movie.
It was good.
That movie holds up.
Speaking of movies, yeah, that hold up. I think I'll show my 6-year-old that next
week. Garrick and I, I got to stop calling my name, I guess. He's 14 now. I guess when he was 12, I was like, I want you to watch this. I said, this is what helped me understand the challenges between African Americans and whites. And then I kind of watched it. I was like, yeah, it holds up, but it's not real good for a while.
Because they use like a phone that's on the wall. And, like,
oh, dude, that's funny.
So dumb. They're like, my kid, I told my kid to hang up the phone, and she looks at me like I lost my mind. She has no idea
the
what
word I'm
doing.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Stranger.
You mean disconnect?
Yeah.
We were watching Stranger Things, and my daughter walked in and go, what is she doing? I was like, oh, she's got a phone. We used to have
those. She's holding it to her ear by a wire. Yeah.
What's the wire for? Well, to get the message through. Yeah, it does, doesn't hold up. All right, Johnny, you got it in your mouth. Which one you've already eaten?
The thing is the beef.
You can't tell.
It's either beef or pork.
And you don't ask.
It's dark meat, and it is brilliant.
You don't ask Koreans what's in it. You just eat.
No, you don't want to know.
It's like Mexico. You just do it.
Well, you can tell there's slight differences. You can tell there's like a legal thing. Like, it's beef, but it's B-E-F with the long sign over the E.
An umlaut.
Pork with a C.
Yeah.
You're like, okay, I'm with you.
Chicken with an I. It's like chicken.
Oh. John, you're working the boats a lot, the cruise lines.
Yeah.
You just came off a big run, didn't you?
Yeah.
So you're constantly in the Caribbean and Mexico. So you're a Houston boy. So you're a Texan boy.
Yeah, I'm a Texan, born and raised in the Rio Grande Valley.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Forgot about that.
I do about 4 or 5 cruises a month. So yeah, I'm all over Bahamas, Mexico, all the time.
Eric, prior to getting on the cruises, you ever been down that way before?
Very little with the Cozumel once. No. This is my only experience.
One of those things, yeah. But you said you're from the Valley. Were you McAllen or what?
Oh, wow. Okay.
So I forgot about that. I was raised in Corpus.
Man. What high school?
Ray High School.
Ray. I went to high school in Victoria, so we played
against... there was two...
Stingeries.
Stroman, Victoria. Stroman and Victoria High.
I was VHS.
Ah, okay. You know who else is from Victoria? Thea Vidal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We went to the same high school.
I'll be damned.
Wow.
Small world.
Kelvin Gurdy, too.
Really? I know Kelvin. Wow. Yeah, that's so McAllen, I think about Far San Juan Alamo. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking about...
My dad went to PSJA.
Really? Yeah, we played them in high school.
My mom was from Donna.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, you're right down there.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so you're raised in the Latino culture.
All about it.
See, that's... I know, exactly. Right? So you were raised on carne asada for breakfast and lunch, and then you go... And then you move
barbacoa,
out.
Barbacoa, like the whole melted face.
Yes.
No, mm-hmm. So good.
But then...
Call back to last week's episode.
Did we do this already?
We talked about barbacoa being the face.
Mm. We talk about this every week. There's I moved to North Texas...
Face is delicious.
Yeah, nobody knows what carne asada is. If you ask a Mexican...
Carne asada is just beef stew.
It's a South Texas thing.
Well, I didn't know until we were on the road together... and you, it was like 10 in the morning, you stop somewhere and you're like, give me, and you pull, and it was just like a gravy, like gravy, a stew meat. Mm-hmm. It was so good.
I had a friend's mom when I was a kid who made carne asada, and her little secret trick was, because remember, the gravy is not like super dark brown.
Love.
It's got like a weird pearlescent brown green to it, right? And she would throw in nopales.
Oh, yeah.
She would fine dice up cactus, that cactus. And would stew that in that carne asada. Oh, fucking good.
Wow.
Oh, like you can't even imagine.
Did you ever date Hispanic girls in high school?
Come on. Of course, man. That's like, hey, did you ever ride a Schwinn?
What'd you say?
That was 80% of the bicycles.
I know, you had to.
Yeah.
That's all the averages.
I know, when I was in high school, I mean, in middle school, it just, that's what it was. You really are part of that culture. You've been to Quinceañeras, you've been to the whole thing, you've done the Christmas party. Oh, God.
Dude.
Backyard parties.
So many quinceañeras.
Right?
Those are ridiculous. It's like their own little prom, their personal prom.
You think that's because they
do a couple of quinceañera / baby showers, too?
Exactly. That's right. We've all got those bits, Johnny. That's what you just stepped on one. I said, you know why they have quinceañeras is because they're afraid they're not going to actually go to the prom. They're going to be pregnant. It's the same thing. I get it. So disruptive.
So I forgot, what were you asking me about the Caribbean?
If you've been exposed to
amazing
culture and food. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Amazing food down there, dude. I like really, really good food, and I like trying some different cultures' food, but I don't like... It's not my jam, and I don't know if it's just financially speaking, but I'm not like a big fine dining guy. I don't want to go to a culture and eat what their upper crust dish is.
Right.
I want to find out, what do the people eat for lunch? You know, what's the good go-to?
What are the locals? I have the same thing, whatever. I don't know what you just said, but...
You know, like, whatever the... what's the local dish? Like, what's...
Yeah, exactly.
Same way when I go on the road and I'm traveling around, like, what's your specialty? What are y'all known for? You know what I mean? Not the, may I have your beef Wellington, sir?
Well, that leads me to the only topic I had today. If when you're on the road, what's your sort of customs or rituals? What are the things you feel like you need to experience in a town? Or
like, why are we doing an episode of podcast at 4 p.m?
Right.
Because we have a show. I didn't want to disrupt what you're doing. I didn't want to disrupt what I'm doing.
Well, I'll tell you, my personal, for a while... You kind of have to remember, you have to keep a regular routine, okay? Yes, you're on the road. Yes, you're traveling around. But this isn't spring break. I'm at work. So I like to taste local flavor. And stuff like this is really good. But if I'd have pulled up and that food truck looks sketchy, I'm sure as hell wouldn't eat on it.
Because it could influence.
Well, because I've been on the road and had long stretches on the road.
Thank you.
Where I've gotten stomach sick.
You get motor oil?
From eating something fucked up weird at a strange restaurant.
Yeah.
But you still got to, that clock keeps ticking, those shows keep happening. You got to keep driving from one place to the next. So even when you're sick, it just makes life miserable. So I kind of, at least 50 to 75% of my meals, I'm going to get something plain, drab, boring. Healthy, even. I'll take a chicken salad.
Predictable.
Right? I may try one or two dishes, but I won't bog down in it. Because I've gotten sick and not known what got me sick. And that just fucks you up for weeks.
Yeah.
So I'll try a little bit, but I'm not going to full-blown. It's not like I'm doing some sort of fucking cooking channel show. I'm like, welcome to Dallas.
Yeah, you don't do...
on the cheese dip trail here in Arkansas.
4 hours before a show, you don't eat Korean tacos and kimchi fries. That's about it.
We're right at the outer limit. I'm good.
Yeah, we are. And that's what I do, the same thing. Otherwise, I'll have to shit on stage.
Oh, you can blow an O-ring if you're not careful.
Dude, nothing moves my bowels better than walking in the door of a comedy club.
Oh, my gosh. Oh.
No kidding.
It's something about being at a comedy club makes me have to shit. Somebody goes, are you good? It's like skydiving. It's like, all right, you need pee, you need shit.
So this week was one of the rounds of the Funniest Comic in Texas competition at the Improv,
which you advanced, my man.
Yeah,
congratulations.
Absolutely.
On the fuck it.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And Houston, you guys have a round that's happening. There's like 70 comics, and I think they've put, I think there's 7 going on to the next round there. And but there were 12 or 15 of us on that show, and the line for the bathroom, because every one of us right when we walked in had to shit.
Shit.
Had to shit.
No, I
I usually keep it in control. You know, I usually about 4 hours, 5 hours out from a show, I go to bed. I need to sleep.
I clear the deck.
Yeah, I got
two. 2 hours before I leave the house.
Yeah, yep. I empty everything, get it out. Don't eat. I don't drink. And I don't drink alcohol. So when I'm up on stage,
too late.
Yeah. So when I go up on stage, clear conscious, clear mind. Because I've been that. I've been down that road where I've had too much to drink and I'm not functioning.
Oh yeah, most of the things that I do now as a routine and as a rule in my life
are from learning.
Are based off of how I fucked up before in the past.
That's a good point.
You know what I mean? Like, I do not smoke weed after 6 p.m. because that one time I got so high I couldn't find the club.
Hey, you know what?
No parking lot, crystal meth.
You said something on Facebook. Somebody talking to you about your weight loss. John lost a bunch of weight.
Because I'm eating two fistfuls of kimchi.
Right, one of the things you said that made a lot of sense was, and I read it correctly, was don't eat in the dark.
Yeah.
And that means, you know, during daylight, basically. So otherwise, you're doing nothing. So what does a comic do? A comic goes on stage, gets done at midnight, like, fuck it, man, we kill him, give me something to eat.
Let's get some water burger.
And then they go, and then they, and they die.
Well, you don't want to feel all full and bloated before you go on stage, so you won't eat before a show.
Yes,
you feel lean and mean, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then after it's all over and all the endorphins fade off, you're like, what a burger. I'm fucking hungry.
Yeah.
But if you can just make yourself go to bed hungry, you'll wake up faster because you're going to be hungry and then go eat breakfast, which is 80% healthier than any of those meal options.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
You just make yourself get up early to go eat. Even I do this at hotels all the time and on ships. I'll get up at 8 o'clock on 3-4 hours of sleep, throw on some fucking pajamas and shit, go eat lunch or go eat breakfast, and go right back to bed. And that next 3 hours of sleep is like spring break.
Yeah. Guys, you didn't know you were going to learn something about life today.
No, that's what this is about, man. We're changing lives with this podcast. I really just thought we were talking about barbecue. I wasn't going to thank
dude,
you.
Oh, dude, I got the alpha bite right here.
What about you, Daryl? When you go to a town, do you prefer like on a long, if it's a, do you, would you either drive to a gig or fly to a gig if it's reasonable to drive it, like within 10 hours?
Ooh. Depends.
I don't mind a long drive.
I think a big indicator is how many miles you think is a reasonable drive. You know, if it's a reasonable drive, like 14 hours.
But you just said it. For a comment, that's,
when that number is moving, that's where you can really find out where you are.
Right.
It blows
it's
my
more
mind.
Than 250. I'm like, fuck it, I'll fly.
Right.
Miles, I can pick up a...
It blows my mind when I hear comics talk about, yeah, we drove since day before yesterday. I'm like, are you kidding me? You're shitting me. Why?
Yeah, that's true.
You know?
I've done that.
Plan it. Think it. Work it. Get out of it. You know, if I can fly, I fly. But most, I mean, I'm pretty fortunate that most of my work stays within an 8-hour, 10-hour drive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, every so often I'm in and out, but you make a long swing. Like, if you do that Arizona swing, you do it for 6-7 days.
Yeah.
It's not that big a deal.
Guys, forgive me. I've gone past the halfway spot.
You're down to the fry.
I'm peening on the your side.
Oh, no, do it.
You're
fine. And if you want one of these tacos, if there was one that tickled your fancy and you need to get
they
back in,
they all tickle my fancy. They also tickle.
Same. You want
one? I have like a little stem where my gallbladder was. So
Did you lose your gallbladder?
Oh hell yeah!
How long ago?
Today.
Yeah.
About 7 minutes ago, I shit it.
I've had one of those. Yeah, it hurts.
Probably, I guess I'm going on 6 years.
Really? Any adverse effects other than, you know?
Gain away.
Yeah.
No, I don't. I eat the way I did before, which is not good. But, man, I thought, it's a long story. I've been told 1,000 times. I was in Tempe on stage and I thought I had a heart attack.
I heard about that.
And I thought, I mean, so I keep talking.
Wait, how long deep into your set was that?
7 minutes.
I was almost done.
Oh, good.
And I have 7 minutes left. But no pain, nothing, you know, just one pain right here. And get home, get back to Texas. Everything's fine.
Oh, wait, so you didn't go to the hospital immediately?
No, because it went away an hour later. But I knew it wasn't a heart attack when I didn't get the symptoms. You know, it was just one pain right here.
I like how cool you are just waiting for the symptoms. Like, and the arm should go in a second.
No, I'm waiting for the pain and the... I knew it wasn't a heart attack.
No panic, fear, life flash in front of your eyes. Just fucking, am I going to get home?
When I get home,
you're just like, yeah, I go to the hospital tomorrow. Thanks.
I do. I know. I fly to Dallas. I drive home to Paris. I go to the. I realize I probably need to go because it acted up again. And they said, you know,
you probably need to go to the Humble.
They said, it's got to come out. It's got to come out. You got a couple, you know, you got time. No big deal. It's, you know, you're just going to have it out. Surgeon couldn't get to it for 2 weeks. And then about a week and a half later, no,
what,
it's
what do you mean? Scheduling couldn't get
the way
to
you
it?
Say, the way you said that, man, like, he was just fucking digging in you.
It's like, just, man, I'm trying.
What? We're going to make camp here. Try again in the morning.
Just post up, boys. Now he's like, the ER doctor said they just can't get you scheduled in.
Oh,
so
gosh.
we can't get in for a month, I think is what it turned out. So like 2 weeks later, Kristen Linder's with me and Scott White, I believe. And I'm at home now. They're doing one of my shows, and it happens again. This one's bad, and that's the one they took me in on. That was, but that's you shit a little differently, and you eat a little differently.
Now, what do you ride? You a reverse cowgirl on the toilet, or?
Yeah, I've never done that.
That's a move.
You've never gone tank for it.
Yeah, my kids do that all the time. They call it monkey style.
Monkey style.
I think it's funny. They get butt ass naked and they hug the toilet.
It's a good place to put a book.
Oh! Or food.
Oh, well, yeah.
Kick us off. South
put a little kimchi fries right there on the upper deck.
That'll keep things going. You just constantly pushing stuff through.
Put my iPad up there so I can watch Netflix while I'm shitting.
Get a little Westworld in.
That's not the worst idea, guys.
No, that's a good idea.
Better than a squatty potty, which is basically.
Yeah. These guys.
We'd make a lot of money just really reversing where that tank is and making it a place to put. Just maybe give it a 45-degree angle, a little lip on it.
You put a couple cinder blocks on each side, you can get your feet up still. So you're hugging it like that. You've got it, but you're still reading or eating.
Society needs a new way to shit.
It's been just
there's not a lot of,
hey,
you know, innovation in that realm.
All industries need innovation and disruption, and I think we can do that.
It's time to fuck up the toilet.
I think we're all about to get that with the election. We know
that. How come homes don't have urinals more?
They're called stand-up showers.
Good point.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Good point.
Get the party started. I've done that before in a midnight rodeo.
But I got a friend of mine who very simply put a urinal in his garage.
That's smart.
A urinal. It's like a washer, dryer, urinal. Like in shop sink thing.
That's going to be a new weekend project for me.
It's like it's so convenient. You just walk around.
If it's in the garage, you're 3 steps away from the backyard.
But that's a felony. You're not allowed to whip your dick out in neighborhoods anymore.
I do. I made direct eye contact with a neighbor 2 weeks ago. I was in the backyard on the phone with somebody, and I thought, I can probably sneak my dick out and piss real quick.
Oh, yeah.
And I did, and he just happened to step out and make a phone call on his back, and we just looked at each other, and I had to
turn. He had to piss, too.
I don't know if he did or didn't, but it was...
He went out to cut a fart. He's like, somebody going to jail for this.
My kid, the boy... has to take the dogs out to the restroom, and he takes them out the front. And we've got one of those doorbells that videotapes it every so often. The ring.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, so it's motion censored. So if I'm on the road, that's always fun for us. By the way, the kids will go out and they'll feed the dog, shake the dog to shit, and hit the doorbell. And
make them think the house is haunted.
And I'll talk to him, you know, through the thing. So then, but he goes out there and he forgets that it's there. And he pisses on the right there in the yard. The dog. You know, 11 o'clock at night. Taking the dogs. The dogs pee. He pees. And it's kind of got an infrared look to it, so you can see.
Oh, yeah. You see hot
neon
pee.
It's all hot.
Like you're a predator watching a movie. Not like a sexual predator, the movie predator.
Right, yeah, thank you. Yeah, it's fantastic. So as far as, back to your topic, rituals, pre-show or post-show? Are you talking about just in general? Or?
Yeah, when you roll into town.
Yeah, what's your SOP in life?
Uh-huh.
When town, I want to know about the town.
Yeah, if it's a big enough place, I like to hit, you know, like a central spot, like a... You know, like if there's a gas station in a small town, or if there's like the mall. Yeah,
getting a local paper is always a good idea.
Local paper, oh yeah.
Wikipedia. Tells you everything you
just
need to
know. Just go on stage and do a riff about noonday onions for 10 minutes.
Right to the strip club.
Yeah, immediately. Killer buffet, guys.
You want to know a city?
Yeah.
Yeah. Go to its biggest strip club.
There's nothing worse than a strip club buffet. I haven't been to one in a decade, but...
I've only been once. It was in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. I was like...
Oh, that's a good place to go.
18 years old, maybe.
Yeah.
And went in with a buddy, and I wasn't ready. Just wasn't... I wasn't ready to
before
eat.
My time.
I wasn't ready to eat and see that at the same time.
Dude...
It's a tapas bar.
Small plates. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The one I went to had a... like a breakfast. In other words, at 2 o'clock, we start breakfast. Like, oh, all right. You know, you have your, I don't know, along the same lines, your grits and tits or whatever. Yeah. Don't ask for the pig in the blankets. I don't know if you want those.
Those aren't weekends.
I hop, it's just a bump.
All right, so the other topic I was thinking about was you see more and more comic specials that are coming out on Netflix. You see more and more interesting things like with webisodes. You see so many different and more types of paths forward, like in comedy. I was just kind of wondering what y'all's thoughts were about the attention span of audiences, the consumption pattern of audiences. And I guess the reason I started thinking of it was MASH. Almost well over 100 million people watch the season finale. And like now, if you watch a show, like a big show, they're lucky to get, what, 2 million viewers for something? Like, it's not a big deal.
Too many options. Can't get everybody to watch one thing anymore.
And I don't know if that's going to change. Like, it feels like there's going to continue to be more and more streams. So how do you guys think about that in terms of comedy? Or do you? I don't know.
I don't too much because there's nothing you can do about it. That's like worrying about the moon, for fuck's sake.
Okay, so on the flip side of that, on the positive side of that, it creates more venues and opportunities. There's more avenues.
Yeah, but it also cheapens the importance of each one. It's like used to be you get a Tonight Show appearance.
Right.
Guess what? You wake up the next morning, and you're a fucking celebrity.
Now
you have to do multiples, 10, 20 fucking things.
But it's a different medium, though. It's a different.
No, but it's not.
Different.
It's the same thing.
It's the same thing.
It's the same thing.
Diluted.
It's So you have to accomplish more.
But
that's
what I'm getting at. There's nothing that we can really do about that. It's the way it is, and it's actually a good thing.
There's nothing you can do about it, but it cheapens everything that is done.
And
I think the trap. Is that you get caught into, people say, you gotta be a content creator. Because I've been doing new media stuff since I first started, right?
Same. Yeah.
So you'll wind up, I think it's like the Lotus Eaters.
Right? It's like the what?
The Lotus Eaters. Okay. The Lotus Eaters in Greek.
Yeah.
Where basically they lure you into the place, you keep eating it, and time disappears, and you don't fucking know anything.
Yep.
So you start chasing hits and shit on YouTube.
Yep, clicks.
Which are like artificial. Even the ones that are making money on YouTube aren't making pensurate money. You're fucking having to put in thousands of hours of work and hustle your balls off to make $11 on fucking click ads.
Yep.
Okay. You know what I mean, the most you'll make is $5,000 in a year, and that's my problem is that it makes you spend all of your emotional creative capital on something that's going to fly up again. You know, you're burning your own engine and your own resources out. Spraying a fucking hot water hose at the sun.
Yeah.
And
when you should be writing or.
Yeah, it's better to make one good thing than but you see that all the time, and everyone thinks.
So can you make one good thing, and that same thing's replicated into other venues, other avenues?
I don't know. I think there's some things that are scalable, right? But I think it can be like. I guess my thought was it's sort of. It becomes a false path, right? Like used to, it was. The ultimate goal, the pinnacle, was you were going to host a show or you're going to get a sitcom, right? That was it. That was, if you were a stand-up, that was kind of where you went. Now, so you had to be one of, like, the top 10 comics in the world to get either one of those options. Now you can be the 1,700th and 8th best comic in your state and have a YouTube video that reaches, but then you're just as thin and fraudulent as Chewbacca Mom, right?
Right. Well, I think I'm glad you brought up Chewbacca Mom because that's a great example. We're going to work
she's
hard.
She's an American hero.
We're going to bust our balls to create creative content, right? That's going to get out there.
She's going to laugh in a fucking mask.
We are just killing ourselves to make the next viral sensation hit. You're putting your heart and your soul and your all of your creativity, scripting it, everything. And it'll top out at about 2 million views. And then a cat will jump on a kid's head from behind and get 15 million views. A lady will pop a 20-year-old blackhead on someone's back and it gets 50 million views.
Rightfully so.
And that's the exact same. It's not apples and oranges. That's apples to apples.
No, you're right.
You're fighting your ass off for something that catching a car accident will get 10 times as much. So now you're I'm trying to say is the tide The rising tide makes everyone...
All the boats go up.
Everyone's caught up in the flood.
It can, but it also gives...
Which affects not only stand-up, but even the news media.
It affects here. And that's,
everything.
Yes.
Yeah.
But, in looking at it from a positive point of view, there's still more opportunities because of that. Because let's look at our friend Matthew Broussard. Okay? Matthew's, yeah, okay. I mean, that's a very fast track. A super fast track. Can we all agree?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay? As you know, has he paid his dues or whatever? I don't know. But what was the catalyst of that? How did he go from emceeing in one of my rooms 3 years ago to having a Comedy Central special this month?
I would say it's...
Montreal.
Yeah. I would say it's a... I would use something that I think Matthew would enjoy. It's an algorithm. It's an equation, right?
Right, like, yeah.
It's a...
But how did it start?
Handsome, charismatic dude with a point of view that... It accelerated it.
It accelerated it.
I'm going to go ahead and just jump ahead of you because I know where you guys are going, and what this really boils down to is industry talk. And the industry, it's the most... This is like football players sitting around talking about the politics of the NFL head office. No one fucking cares. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I mean, we're going to...
Let's have fun.
How do casting couches happen? Because someone wants to fuck them.
Right.
All right. So, yeah, someone can be a trained Shakespearean actor, can be an award-winning theater in the park actor.
That is awesome.
Fantastic.
And they're not going to get the part on a fucking sitcom as the wacky neighbor. Okay.
No, yeah.
And that doesn't make any difference to you. That shouldn't affect you as a comic or as an entertainer, because once you start chasing trends and worrying about who's working at what office and who's repping who and all this other shit, well... Now you're at the mercy of all that. You're not in the art world.
Instead of just staying in your lane.
But my point is, you have something worth selling.
But my point is,
they don't issue him a Lamborghini.
And to circle back to what you're saying about even a Tonight Show appearance.
Doesn't mean what it used to.
So you can get a Comedy Central special now, which this scares the hell out of me as a relative new guy. You can get a half hour, and
I thought I'm.
You can still get your hair cut, and nobody knows who you are. You know what I mean? Oh, but I think, so let me bridge the gap between where we both are, or all three of us are here. I think what it is the idea of being true to yourself. So,
that never works.
Never.
I always go with big tits. I'm kidding. I think you're right.
Yeah, so if you can, we'll continue to use Matt as an example. So here's a dude who has a degree in advanced mathematics, who gets off on wordplay and being smart, right? Mm-hmm. So he can do that, and there's attention for that. There's an audience for that.
Yes.
I think that's the positive side of it, is that no matter what your thing is, there's probably eyeballs for it. It's never been easier to find those eyeballs, but at the same time, like...
I've known Matthew Broussard since he first came out to open mic. I was running the open mics he first came out to, right?
Uh-huh.
And I will say this, and if you didn't know that I knew him, you'd think it was offensive of me being a dick. But this is something Matthew himself would know, because he is a self-aware young man.
Right.
If he did not look good...
Yeah, he knows that.
Mm-hmm. He would not be... And he knows that 100%. If he had a horribly disfiguring facial scar...
Yeah.
He would be hanging out at those open mics still.
If he was a child of us three...
It all has to come together.
He would know.
Yeah. He'd have to show him on any...
Yeah. I need more beer. I'm out of beer.
That's the truth. All right, so that took care of a topic, I guess. Anyway.
That's it. No, we're good. That was the two dumbest things I want to talk about. Probably 55 minutes.
45:13.
We got a vamp. What's going on?
So, okay. Two things I want to talk about were, what's your road trends or what's your road habits, and what do you think about just this path, how it's changed?
Johnny, where can they work? Oh, thank you so much. That's what we were after. That's romantic.
Welcome to the dinner hour.
Yes. All right. So, where can they find you? You have a. Oh no! You've got a new album out, right?
I do. Three Dark Rando. I got a new printing of it, and I'm recording a new one in March at the Velveeta Room in Austin.
Oh, we did the in January this year.
Yeah, January this year.
Mario DiGiorgio.
Good dude, man.
Yeah,
love what he's done with that club, man.
That's a fun little weird room, right?
Always has been, but he really brought it together, gave us some order.
Class, it seemed very classy.
Solid, man.
Well put together. Yeah, Mario's a good guy.
Yeah.
He's a comics comic. He's one of us, too. Yeah. You know, you need more Marios in the world. That'd be a good album.
Yeah, thanks, man. I got kind of the next evolution of shit I've been working on,
kind of spending some time away from the Whiskey Brothers. I was involved with those guys for a long time. They're still my brothers, still my friends. But
sure.
I kind of, you know, I spend most of my time out on carnival ships, man. And I got four kids. It kind of, that's quite a burden, you know. And I love it. I'm happy about it. But still, that bill comes every month.
Right.
No, you know what I mean? But you say that. Okay, so think about this. I can only assume that this material on this new album, probably a lot of family-related type material.
Quite a bit. Quite a bit.
You're on cruises. You're seeing a lot of families. When you're home, you're with yours. You said you have four children now. Three girls and a boy, right?
Three girls and a baby boy about to turn 1 year old.
Hang on. Now, listen to this. This is always a great deal.
It's awesome.
First names of the kids.
Oh, yeah. All my kids are named after comics.
Yeah.
So my oldest daughter is Kinnison. My second daughter.
That's for Samuel, by the way.
Yeah, you should know that. My second daughter is named Carlin.
Yes.
My third daughter, and we didn't think this one would be.
Seinfeld.
No, we did not think this would be controversial, but her name is Cosby.
What's her middle name?
Violet.
Okay, there we go.
Dahmer or something.
Rufy. she chose on her own to go by BB, so whatever. But my son is named Keaton for Michael Keaton / Buster Keaton.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a lot of people don't remember that Michael Keaton started off as a stand-up comic.
Yep.
Yeah, he was a stand-up comic and basically mm-hmm. jumped to movies and off he ran.
Took off from there?
Yeah.
How fun is that? I love it. Very good.
The movie Punchline was originally written yep. for him.
Really?
Yeah. Said it was Tom Hanks.
All right, so we got a new album coming out. We got an album. Did you just reprint it, or it's out about 3 weeks?
Yeah, it's my last one. I got a whole new, got a remastered. Sound is great. It was recorded up at the comic strip in Edmonton.
Okay, very good.
Recorded in Canada. I like to outsource. Like
yeah,
comedy.
Sure, perhaps. Might as well. There's a conversion rate too. It sound better.
It's 48
know.
Minutes.
Yeah, and
it's a 48-minute hour.
That's a 48 megahertz too.
Yeah,
they convert it to.
You have to hit the weird plug.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's got four prongs.
Your Twitter presence, you vacillate between pretty traditional Twitter, and then you do a little weird nighttime Twitter occasionally.
Oh yeah, I've been on Twitter since about day one, since it first started.
Yeah.
So. I was an early adapter, and probably one of the biggest mistakes I've made in my career was I adopted a practice early in Twitter where now everyone wants a whole shitload of followers,
mm-hmm.
right? But early it was all about having better followers, right? Mm-hmm. So like about trimming the herd.
Yeah, you didn't follow.
I basically, over the years, people would follow me, and I would block them if they were shit accounts or they were fake filler accounts like eggs.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? So now I got like I think 5,400 somewhere around there. But it's like it's a killer. I got a, you know, it's all killer, no filler. You know what I mean? I trim just the random account. But now everyone, oh, you got to have 40,000 Twitter account. Like, yeah, those are so many. Those are fake.
Are you verified?
Bots. Not verified yet. I got an email from them a couple of months ago, and I was out on a boat, and I missed it for a week, and never responded back to it. I'm not working in the media anymore. If I was still working in radio or something like that, I would go for it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean all the you know, whatever they have requirements. I've had parody accounts based off of it. That's one of the big things.
Mm-hmm.
You need to actually prove that you are you.
Right, yeah.
But I don't think it makes a big difference. I mean, shit.
So how do they find you at Twitter?
At John Wessling, JohnWessling. I feel bad. You guys have a Google alert set up on your own name?
I do.
You got to do it.
There's a famous hockey player with my name, so I get a lot of his shit.
Well, I feel bad. There's a banker, a lawyer, and a young motocross kid named John Wessling.
Oh, there is a hockey player named Brandon. Yes, there is. Yeah.
And I feel bad because I know I'm dominating them on Google.
Like you got the top 10 searches. Yeah.
And the bad thing is, anytime there's any of the accounts of at John Wessling or John Wessling, you know, any of the stuff where I can get just the name, I've already got them all.
Right.
So then when I see them, I look them up because I try to make an army of John Wesslings. And I look them up and I can tell that they have the, like, they tried.
Yeah.
So it's J. Wessling 1, 2. You're like,
gotcha.
Oh, hi, J.R. Wessling. Every now and then one of them beats me to Instagram.
One of them got John Wesley.
So what's your Instagram?
Instagram is the John Wesley.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
They're doing the same thing.
Yeah, exactly.
You got a website?
ShakeThatBear.com.
Ooh.
Go ahead and elaborate. Tell us about this one.
Just go see it. It's an amazing website. ShakeThatBear.com.
Very Web 2.0 name.
I don't trust it.
You shouldn't.
Is it your website?
Go to lemonparty.org.
My favorite. That's
your favorite. Yeah. 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 I assume.
Spoiler alert: the bear does not win.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a look.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
We're gonna pull it up. Don't pull it up.
Don't. You're not gonna want to do it.
Not good. All right, give me a synopsis. What is it then?
It is a man and a woman on a hunting trip. They shoot a bear out of a tree and then have sex on top of its dead body.
I don't understand why you don't want me to see this.
I just want you to know what you're seeing.
Is it multiple kills?
You only need one. You don't need
John, that. I need you to tell me, do they just stay with one position the entire time, or do they make
it up? That's the position is basically called Shake That Bear.
Oh, this is very similar to Shake That Pelican. That's another one I saw where man and a woman, they stuck their cock inside the mouth of a pelican.
Inside the pelican.
It's got that gullet thing.
Huh.
Yeah, it's a different, same thing.
I don't think they sex the bear, but they sex on the bear and they shake it.
Right,
the process of it shaking.
The bear got a little runoff.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Absolutely.
Guys, right. I think that's a wonderful place to start and to stop this podcast. We're going to wrap up. You guys go to ShakeThatBear.com.
Yes.
Let us know what you think in the comments. See you guys next time.
Yeah, go to our Facebook page and tell us about it.
Yeah.
Add me on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
Good luck with that.
Yeah. Thanks, John. Thank you.
Thanks, fellas.
All right, we'll see you next time on the podcast. All right, we're here at for a Pitmaster Minute.
Yes. We're at Oak Highland Brewery in... Are we in Plano? Officially, where are we at?
No, I think
Richardson.
Garland, I think, / Dallas or something. And we're here with Johnny. Johnny, what's your last name?
Del Rosario.
Del Rosario. That sounds very Korean. with Sam's Barbecue, S-S-A-H-M-B-B-Q. What are you doing?
I'm going to look you up. I feel like I know you from somewhere. Do we know each other?
I was a DJ before I bought the business.
In East Texas?
All over DFW, like all the clubs downtown.
Yeah?
I mean, I was doing that for 14 years before
We are super into EDM. Brandon and I are big dancers. We, Oh, you guys are Facebook buddies?
No, we're about to be. But
there you go.
Right on.
That's the way you bond with the Facebook.
Well, let's make in the digital
age. Yes, Daryl put me in there, man.
So, Sam Barbecue, gourmet Korean tacos, Korean fusion.
Yes.
So, tell me about how we got here. What's the we just kind of do the concept, but how long you guys been in operation?
Okay, I was an employee on the truck before I purchased the whole business back in 2014 of October.
Uh-huh.
So, Sam BBQ has been around for close to 6 years and pioneered the food truck industry here. Like, it's probably truck number 3 or 4, I would guess.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it's been around for a while. So we have a reputation in the DFW area. And like I said, I was an employee on the truck, and then I saw it had great operations running it and decided to purchase it, you know, when the DJing stuff kind of...
Uh-huh.
Didn't fall through, but you know, I need a new challenge. I've been doing it for a while and decided to move on and do something else.
So how long, I may have missed it, but how long have you been cooking total?
Cooking 2 years.
2 years, so you're relatively new at it.
Yeah, I'm a cook, but I'm not a chef. Yeah, I didn't go through the training and all that stuff. But you know,
I think most guys that are in barbecue are cooks or not chefs.
Yeah. Well, and I think barbecue is, if you don't have a culinary background, it's probably one of the more forgiving to be in.
You're right. Yeah,
and there's a lot of enough variation. And like today, we're talking about traditionally Traditionally, our venues are the old smokehouses, you know, that kind of thing.
Meat market.
So yeah. So here, seeing this is something kind of a twist. Yeah. It's a barbecue truck, but it's Korean, and you've got some common, you know, things that we would eat that have a different twist to them.
Yeah, the concept of Korean barbecue itself, if you go to like Royal Lane or the Korean District when they do it, you know, it's not like pit barbecue. It's more a family social gathering where they have the marinated meats and they give it to you and you cook it yourself on the tables. And
really?
Yeah.
Like more hibachi style?
Hibachi, exactly. More like hibachi. There you go. So it's a real big social aspect when you around the table and everyone's cooking and eating.
So we had, you brought us three types of tacos.
Yes.
A pork, a chicken, and a beef?
Yes.
Okay. Uh-huh.
So it's Calbee short rib beef, and then for the chicken, it's thigh meat. And then for the pork, it's pork leg.
Okay, and they were great.
Yeah.
We loved them, yeah.
Yeah, the chicken was great. I love deaf thigh meat. It was juicy, had great flavor.
Yeah, do all the marinades myself. I got the recipe. Like, I'm not taking concept or taking credit for the concept. It wasn't my concept. It's my friend Andy who did all that stuff, and, you know,
but you're trying to move it forward with your own twist,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
I love the cabbage, you know, it just kind of...
Oh, those kimchi fries.
Oh, let's step back.
Dude, John, I'm not going to lie. Like, that shit made me nervous. Yeah. It hits the table, and I'm like, I don't know, I'm a white guy.
We have colon issues,
and
we don't take care of ourselves, and we eat a lot of shit.
And they both looked at me, and you're sitting there, and I was like... Well, I've got to put my fork in it,
man.
And I did, and...
it's just glorified cheese fries. That's the way
I
look at it.
I know,
but they were terrific.
Cool. Yeah.
Appreciate it, man.
That's great. I mean, it was... You could... I mean, hell, if I had that at a ball game, that would be killer.
Yeah.
I mean, it was great. Yeah, glorified cheese fries.
Did you have the... you had the quesadilla.
Had the quesadilla. Had one of the... Had a bite of a chicken taco, and then maybe some of the... Of a pork taco.
They were great. So, they were good. Cool. Okay, so where could somebody... Are you in one spot all the time in the Metroplex?
We move so much. I mean, we're at residence at, like, the truck yard down in Lower Greenville.
Okay.
And then there's a Frisco rail yard that just opened up, kind of like the truck yard, but obviously in Frisco. So we have our spots where we're there, like, five times out of the month where we're scheduled to do a rotating. But you could find us. I mean, the best way is I post weekly where we're at.
So if you're in Dallas, go to go to the Facebook page.
Yeah, sambbbq.com, yep.
And that's SSAHMBBQ.com. For their exact location, you probably want to be on the social medias.
Yeah.
You know, Facebook, Twitter. If you want catering information, man.
Definitely. It's all on the webpage.
Yeah, it's all there. Go there, check it out. There's some good stuff. I'm not going to lie, I was a bit skeptical, like, what am I getting in for?
Well, you've
and
always
it
been
treated me right.
You've always been afraid of the Koreans. We know that. your stomach is a DMZ.
Guys, I come and got some, and I'm glad I did.
S-S-A-H-M. Hey, you can give him a phone number. It's on there. I saw that you were...
I have to ask John one question before he gets out of here, though.
Yeah, what?
I want to figure this out. So, you're a DJ before, now you're in a food truck. What are you listening to in the food truck?
Oh, all sorts of stuff, man. EDM stuff, like
See?
You said. Yeah, like...
Yeah, they're in their dancing,
I'm
bro.
Listening to stuff that I really haven't played out when I was in the... Well, when I was a DJ, you know? This is all underground things that...
Do you listen to any classic rock?
I do. Okay, my favorite band is Tool, if that means anything
to
you.
It does.
So.
Okay. Lateralist. Yeah. That album's a great album.
Yep. Well, I do listen to classic rock as well, you know, Led Zeppelin and all that. Because I play a lot of instruments as well.
You're arriving at somewhere. What is
I'm trying to figure out... I've been really struggling this week. I've been listening to a lot of Bob Seger and the Silver Bullet Band this week.
Right on.
And I don't know if Bob Seger's ever had an orgasm. Like, he sounds like he's... Night Moves is... Read it. Read the lyrics.
Yes, I know. He's all about busting it on somebody or in somebody.
I know, and it makes no sense. He talks to... Anyway. John, go back to the truck. Listen to Night Moves. Turn the page,
yes. You know, put some
all-time rock and roll,
on, and
start humming a song from 1962,
and then you know, make sure your boy's on guard. I can only suspect there's going to be erections.
Oh,
because you've got marinated
meats, hot plates,
and a little Bob Seger, pow.
Yeah,
that's how the ladies like it.
That's all the right things or something.
They're
to
right there for you, Johnny. Johnny Five, come alive.
Well,
here we go.
I was thinking about getting some, and I thought about Bob Seger.
That was my DJ name too, Johnny Five. So
really,
why can't it not be?
It can't. Yeah, it just flows.
I know.
Johnny
and you
Five.
Just, and you would do the robot. And
did you say Johnny Five is live?
Yeah, Short Circuit, man.
Yeah,
80s movie.
I love it.
One or two?
Yeah.
One is really the only way to go. Two suck so much ass.
Doesn't anything end with two suck?
Right.
Can you not think of anything?
I was trying to think. I was thinking maybe Lethal Weapon may have been okay, but
Police Academy 2 was actually pretty decent, but
No, my friend.
The first was obviously
Yeah. But they're just diminishing returns after the first.
Yeah, they all end up that way. Every Caddyshack?
Yeah.
Right? Come on.
Roadhouse?
we went to this. I don't know. Another episode, The Jerk 2.
Oh, yeah.
Go look for it. It's out there. It's horrible.
The Mask 2, now Jamie Kennedy.
Oh, I'm thinking of the Mask, the movie with the kid that had elephant...
it was Kid of the...
yeah, with the big and long...
Yeah. He had elephantitis or whatever it was. Yeah. The Elephant Man, and they called it his Mask.
He was the Mask 2.
The sequels when he gets plastic surgery, mm-hmm. That's not nice.
Our other dude on the show, Tyler Elliott. Tyler, I don't know, he fell in some weird wormhole on Instagram. Jamie Kennedy's been liking a lot of Tyler's photos.
Oh, really?
And we can't figure out why. We don't know what's... But it's the legit Jamie Kennedy, and it's got Tyler pretty shook up.
Should be, rightfully so. Things are looking up for Tyler.
Yeah.
Things are looking up for Tyler.
It's good.
Johnny, again, thanks, man. South Barbecue, thanks for having us.
Always, guys.
Appreciate it.
Yeah. Always, thanks.
Thank you.